Greetings and welcome back to TanakhStudy.com, the podcast program in which we study Parashat HaShavua over the course of six podcasts during the week in which we read that parasha. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and I'm honored to be studying the second half of Sefer Shmot with you. And we are now near the beginning of Parashat Tetzaveh. This is our second podcast. And we will be looking at the rest of the Big Day Kuhuna, the special clothes that are made for the Kohanim, which we began seeing in the first podcast. Important to note that although the beginning of this parak, parak chafchet, introduces the notion that v'hi krev elecha et aron achicha v'et banav ito, that Moshe is to bring Aharon and his sons, all the garments that we hear about being made or being made only for Aharon, and indeed his sons are excluded through the first 30 psukim. So we pick up at Pasuk Lamed Aleph, things don't change. Ve'asita et me'il ha'ifod kelil techelet. So you are to make a me'il, which may be related to the word me'al, something that goes on top. It's an overcoat, as it were, of the ephod. Now, what does that mean? Does it mean it goes over the ephod, or it's the me'il that the ephod goes over? Some of the Rishonim point out that ephod here is a short version of ephod v'choshen, because we already heard v'lo yizach ha'choshen me'al ephod. Once the choshen is on, it's not to be removed from the ephod. So it's all one unit. V'asita me'il ha'ephod kelil techelet. Kelil means completely, like we hear in Vayikra bet that chol minchat kohanim, any mincha of a kohen is kalil tiyesh, is all burned up. So Mi'il ha'ifod kalil techelet, it is all techelet, this mi'il. Vayafir, and this is the first garment that we've seen, or anything that we've seen, that is purely one color. Vayafir rosho bitocho. Pirosho literally means the mouth of its head, but what it means is the opening, the neck opening, that it should be bitocho, in the middle of it. Safa yihye lefiv saviv, ma'aseh orei kefi tachra yihye lo yikarea. Few words that we have to clarify here. That the neck hole should be in the middle, which means it's going to be evenly distributed front and back. Safa, which is a hem, yihyeh lefiv saviv, should be in the mouth. That's the opening all around. Ma'aseh oreg, it's supposed to be embroidered. Now, that means that instead of taking, as was often done, a flat piece of fabric and then cutting a hole out for the neck hole, it's supposed to be originally fashioned with that neck hole embroidered around. Kefi tachra, and that seems to be the same as some sort of a corselet or something. That's how BDB renders it. Some other garment, the mouth neck opening of that, yellow, lo yikarea, meaning it should not be torn, as is normally done with garments like that. Now, the asita al shulav. So what do we have here so far is a me'il, which is going to be the same length front and back. It's all techelet. And now, the asita al shulav, you are to make on the bottom hems of the me'il, rimonei techelet v'argaman v'tola'at shani. We're waiting to hear these other threads. So a rimon, of course, a pomegranate. The idea here seems to be something shaped like a pomegranate, so sort of ovoid, that's made out of tchelet argaman tolat shani, which means those threads that are interwoven. Al shulav saviv, it should be on the hem at the bottom all the way around. Ufa amonei zahav betocham saviv. Literally means golden bells inside of them going all around. What does that mean inside of them? So, Rashi and Rambam read that it means that in between each of the pa'amonim of Zahav, there is a rimon, meaning rimon, pa'amon, rimon, sadarayas. We're going to read in a moment. Ramban reads that the Zahav is, as it says, bitocham, inside the rimon. We'll see how that plays out. And so in the next pasuk, we see pa'amon zahav v'rimon, pa'amon zahav v'rimon. And again, here, tamei mikra are critical for understanding what's being said. The word pa'amon, the first word pa'amon, is informed by a mercha, which is a serving note which connects to the next word, pamon, zahav. Zahav is informed by a pashta, which is a stopping note. So it should be read pamon zahav, and then virimon, which is a greater stop, is akef. The next two, pamon zahav, is a merchati, the first pamon is a mapach. Second one is a mercha, pamon zahav, mercha tipcha, and then et nachta. So the way it's properly read is pamon zahav, virimon, pamon zahav, virimon. It's important that a Baal Kriya read that correctly and phrase it properly so we understand what we mean is a pamon zahav and a rimon. A pamon zahav and a rimon. Al shulei ha-me'il saviv. That will go all the way around the hem of the me'il, front and back. Now, Rashi and Rambam seem to be more supported by this pasuk, which says pamon zahav virimon. However, the previous one, pamon zahav betocham, seems to support Ramban. So how would a Ramban read pamon zahav rimon? He would read it as a unit. A pamon zahav inside a rimon, going all the way around. And how would Rashi and Rambam read the previous pasuk? Pamon zahav betocham, meaning in their midst, not inside of them. Al shulei ha-me'il saviv, and that is indeed how Rashi interprets it. Vaya al haron the sharet. This me'il should be on a haron as part of his service. Vinishma kolo. And his voice, but what it means is its voice or its sound will be heard. Bevo'o el hakodesh, the fnei Adonai, uvitseto v'lo yamut. So when Aharon comes into the Kodesh, in front of Hashem, or when he goes out, then the sound will be heard. V'lo yamut. He will not die. The implication is that if Aharon comes in without this sound going on, that he will die. That reminds us of a somewhat parallel phrase in Vayikra Tet Zayin, that Aharon should come in to the Kodesh Kodashim, Bezot Yavo Aharon, Ki Be'anan Ereal HaKaporet, that he should come in with the Anan, V'lo Yamut, implying that there are certain features that have to happen to protect Aharon when he comes in, Aharon being the Kohen Gadol. The one there is the smoke, the one here is the sound, that there should be some sort of a sound, and the sound dafka made with gold. Now those Rishonim, notably Rashi, Ben Ezra, who understand that the Mishkan is a kapara, is a response and an atonement for the Chet HaEgel, could well explain that the idea is that the sound, instead of the sound of triumphant bacchanalia, perhaps, that was heard around the Egel, the tikkun here is that the same gold is now being used to make a pleasant sound to announce Aharon's arrival. As we pointed out in the first podcast of Parshat Truma, Ramban has a whole different take because Yesh Muktam Muchar BaTorah, and therefore sees the Mishkan as being a lechatchila, an ideal structure, and not a response to a tragedy. And as such, perhaps this is just a statement that when Aharon comes in, there should be something akin to knocking. And indeed, Chazal learned from here a piece of etiquette that a person should never come into someone else's house without first announcing their presence, without first knocking. Okay, that's the me'il. Now, so far we have seen three garments, a choshen, an ephod, and a me'il. We were told about those at the beginning of the parashah. Ve'asita tzitz zahav tahor. Tzitz seems to be like a strand or a string, but it's made out of zahav tahor, pure gold. This is the first of the begadim that we hear having that. All the other begadim are woven in some sort. Ufitachta alav pituchei chotam, and now you're going to engrave in it, and this is similar to the engraving we heard of the stones on the ephod, and a kitfot ephod, and the stones on the choshen. And what will it say there? Kodesh ladunai. So there can be those words embossed into the gold that is this gold strip. V'samta oto al petil techelet. V'haya al hamitznafet, al mul pnei hamitznafet yihye. So a little read here is, you are to put it, meaning this gold strip, on a string of techelet, and it will be on the mitznafet. The mitznafet is the hat. We haven't yet heard of this mitznafet. El mul pnei hamitznafet. And the word mul is an interesting word, because in modern Hebrew, the word mul means opposite, facing. But here, and indeed the biblical meaning throughout Tanakh, mul means somewhat parallel, but not exactly the same as the contemporary meaning. It means on the same side as. So whereas mul hehar in modern Hebrew would mean you're facing the mountain. Mul hehar in Tanakh would mean at the foothills of the same mountain. And mul pnei mitznefet means it'll be on the same side as the front of the mitznefet. That's where it's going to be. However, some of the Rishonim point out, some Tau Toam Petil Techelet could be read both ways, that the tzitz is on the Petil Techelet or the Petil Techelet is on the tzitz. The way that we understand it is the tzitz goes across the forehead as a band. It's held together with a Petil Techelet, which is tied in the back, and it goes underneath where the hat is, and that it forms sort of a cover, if you will. The hats are sort of a cover over it. And Chachamim tell us that in between those two is where the tefillin shel rosh of the Kohen Gadol can be seen. V'hayar al meitzach Aharon, v'nasa Aharon et avon ha-kodashim asher yaktish b'nei Yisrael l'chomelot kodsheyem, v'yar mitzchot tamid l'ratzon lahem lifnei Adonai. And so now we find out what this tzitz is about, and that is that it will be on Aharon, the Kohen Gadol's forehead, and Aharon will bear the sin of the Kodashim. What sin of the Kodashim is this? So Chachamim understand this means that if there are Kodashim, if there are Korbanot that were brought inadvertently, betumah, within in an impure state, that the tzitz is, as Lashon Chachamim, the tzitz is miratzeh. It affects acceptance of that Korban in spite of its status of tamei. So the korbanot asher yaktishu bnei Yisrael l'chol matnot kodsheihem, any of their gifts, and now v'yal mitzchot tamid, which means it has to be on Aharon's forehead at all times, but the ratzon lahem lifnei Adonai, to bring this effect, this acceptance. The word ratzon is another example of a word whose meaning changes. It's a word whose meaning changes even within Tanakh. In early Tanakh, such as here in Chumash, ratzon means grace or favor. Later on in Tanakh, ratzon means something closer to the contemporary meaning of will or desire. But here it's favor, which means that the tzitz has to be on his forehead to affect this favor and acceptance. Now, does it have to be on his forehead at all times? Certainly not. Can't be on his forehead when he's sleeping, he's not doing avodah. And there is a famous machloket, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda, about whether or not the tzitz can affect the ritsui, the acceptance of the korban, even if it's not currently on the forehead of Aharon. But now, that completes the picture of the kind of the famous big pieces, which are the choshen, the ephod, the me'il, the tzitz, that as we happen to know, are the four extra begadim, the begadim that only the Kohen Gadol wears, and thus we refer to the Kohen Gadol as being merubeh begadim, having extra garments, and that is the shmoneh begadim of the Kohen Gadol. Which means there are four basic begadim that every Kohen wears, and now we get to the Aharon, Bnei Aharon. So v'shibatzta hakatonet sheish. Clearly, you need a shirt and pants. That's going to be a no-brainer. V'shibatzta hakatonet sheish. You're going to make paces, almost like a tapestry, of the ketonet out of linen. V'asita mitznefet sheish. And you're going to make a turban out of linen. V'avnei ta'aseh maser okein. And you're going to make a weave, a sash. So those three things are mentioned here. And these three things are made for the Kohen Gadol, for Aharon. But now, v'livnei Aharon, taseh chutanot. You're going to make tunics for Bnei Aharon. And this is the first time that Bnei Aharon now are getting garments. V'asita lehem avnitim. Make them sashes for them. U'migba'ot ta'aseh lahem l'chavor ul'tifaret. And you're going to make hats, that's the mitznefet, for them l'chavor ul'tifaret. Which means now, the last three garments mentioned all in one pasuk, Pasuk Lamed Tet, for Aharon, are now made with one slight difference. Instead of a mitznefet, it's called a migbat, but these are made for Bnei Aharon, as were made for Aharon. And now, v'hilbashta otam et Aharon achicha et panavito. So you, Moshe, are to don them on Aharon, your brother, and his sons with him. And the critical point is they are Bnei Aharon, they are ito, which means their special status emanates from their father, and their special status emanates not as being Nadav or Abihu or Elazar or Itamar, but as being Bnei Aharon. Umashachta otam, umileitat yadam, ikideshta otam v'chiyanuli. Let's clarify these terms. U'mashachta otam means you are going to anoint them. Now, we don't yet know about the anointing. We're going to find out about the special process of anointing and about the material used for the anointing in the next parasha, in Kitisa. But you will anoint them, which means you're going to inaugurate them, literally fill their hands, but it's a biblical idiom for inauguration. And you'll sanctify them. And this seems to be a sequencing, which means first you anoint them. Then you are going to, as it were, put the things in their hands that they're going to be using for their special worship. And then you'll sanctify them, which is exactly how our parak started. We'll come back to that in a moment. You're going to make for them, again, them is Bnei Aharon, Michnesei Vad. And it's not just Bnei Aharon, this is also Aharon. Pants made of linen, L'chasot B'sar Vad, to cover up the nakedness. Mimotnayim Vad Yerechayim Yud, they'll go from the waist down to the thighs, which means they're sort of like pantaloons, as it were, or long shorts. These will be on Aharon and his sons when they come into Ohel Moed, or when they come to the Mizbeach, which means they're outside the Ohel Moed, but they're dressed coming to the Mizbeach, the Sharet Bakodesh, to serve in the sanctified area. And they will not therefore bear a sin and die. And from here we learn the halacha that if somebody does Avodah Shelo lavush begadim, and he's not wearing the garments, it's the first Mishnah in the second parak in Masachet Zevachim, then he is chayav mita bidei shamayim. Chukat olam lo uzaro acharav. This is a law not only for Aharon and his sons, but for his seed forever. Now you notice in this parak that we have that the parak begins, now that we've come to the end of it, the parak begins with a call to Moshe to bring Aharon and his sons together. And then, in Pasuk Bet, to bring them to him, right, and to sanctify them, lechahanoli, meaning they're all going to be kohanim, all five of them at this point. And then we're told, vasita b'gdei kodesh la'aron achicha, that Moshe is to fashion these clothes, and they're la'aron achicha, only for Aharon. And all we hear is about for Aharon all the way through Pasuk Lamed, Lamed Tet. In Pasuk Mem, we go back to the beginning, as we have something of an inclusio, something of a bookends, as the beginning and the end of this perek focus on Bnei Aharon, or Aharon Uvanav, and then the middle of it, the bulk of it, is about Aharon himself, and the special begadim for Aharon. Livnei Aharon tasechu tanot, back in Pasuk Mem, v'asilam avanitim, v'asot tasalem machavot tifaret. And now, remember at the beginning of the parak it was, bring Aharon and his sons, bring them close, and you're going to make begadim for them. And now the begadim for Aharon, then the begadim for his sons, and now you're going to put the begadim on them. And if you look at the beginning of the parak, you have that same phrase that you're going to bring them close, v'chi hanuli, in Perek al Chafchet Pasuk Aleph, the Chahanoli. So that works as a perfect inclusio, which is odd because in Pasuk Mem Bet, which is after the framework is done, we're told about the Michnasayim. And it's as if to say that the Michnasayim aren't really of the same status. They're not really special status of Big Day Kuna, and we're told that their purpose is not splendor, their purpose is not glory, their purpose is not sanctity, their purpose is simply to cover up the nakedness, because you can't appear that way. If you recall at the end of Yitro, when you heard about the special laws of the Mizbeach, the very last law was you can't have steps so that your nakedness is not uncovered when you're walking up, you have a ramp instead. And so therefore that focus here after the bookends and the frame of the special begadim for Aharon uvanav puts the michnasayim really into a different category. And then Pasuk Mem Gimel wraps it all up together, which would indicate that if someone were to do avodah with everything but the michnasayim, they would still be chayav mita for not having the proper begadim, but understand that the michnasayim serve a very different purpose. This concludes really all of the materials that have been prepared for the Mishkan, both of the structure, the furniture as we call it, and the special garments of Aharon, There will yet be more to deal with at the end of this parsha and in the beginning of Kitisa. But first, since the Torah mentioned bringing Aharon's sons in and sanctifying them, prepare them for Avodah, we're going to deal with the inauguration process, which is most of the content of Perek Chavtet. We'll do it over the course of two podcasts, beginning in the next podcast. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.